Hey, it's Scott Petrek with another episode of the Brown Zone Coverage Podcast. Free agency arrived this week, and while the Browns haven't made any huge money moves, they have been busy. They're bringing in Jameis Winston as a backup quarterback rather than Joe Flacco, re-signing defensive end Za'Darius Smith and defensive tackle Shelby Harris and Maurice Hurst II, and adding linebacker Jordan Hicks, along with many other moves. Here to discuss, as always, is Dave Chudowski of GO, the WKYC Morning News. How's it going, Chud?
It's going, Scott. I'll tell you. I was just thinking about this, and I want to know your reaction. Do you feel like the off season in the NFL, especially around free agency, is like a bigger deal than some other sports in season?
Yeah, I think you can probably make that argument for sure. I mean, there's more excitement around it feels, and I'm probably not the most unbiased person because I'm right in the middle of it, but it feels like there's more excitement for this than, a random week in Major League Baseball, and I'd probably say a random week in the NBA.
Right. I mean, I love those sports, especially come playoff time
Sure.
and, opening day. And but as far as like storylines and just the way that people react to it, it's incredible how big the NFL has gotten. So, and almost loosely I say that because I mean I know that off season should not trump, regular season in other sports, but it paves the way, especially right now, for what the regular season is going to look like. And, we're going to really dive into the Browns here in a second, but just from the overall landscape, this has been a wild week dating back to when we first started hearing about the stories up until it became official just around the league with some of these big names going elsewhere. I mean, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
It is. I mean, there's movement, right? There's a ton of movement, and that's one thing. There's big names. I mean, you look at a guy like Saquon Barkley, right? One of the bigger names in the game. He moves. He goes to from the Giants to the rival Eagles, right? That's a big deal. It's a big deal across the league. It's a big deal in sports. That's why there's so much excitement. That's why there's so much interest. And, it's a little bit of a dead period, right? We're just getting into March Madness. But we're before the tournament start. Baseball's in spring training. The NBA hasn't gotten to the playoffs yet. So I think there's a reason. There's a reason so many eyeballs can be focused on this. Having said that, and it is interesting, and these moves matter, right? I mean, the Browns are adding a bunch of guys, got teams across the league are adding big name players. The Falcons go get Kirk Cousins, right? Like there are some huge moves that matter. But when you take a little bit step back, you see some of these stats or graphics with free agent signings and how 2 years later, a lot of those players aren't on their new teams anymore, right? So there's a little bit of a buyer beware that goes into free agency. There's a little bit of, the best players don't often get to free agency. So you're kind of picking through, you're overpaying for guys. I think that's just a general theme of free agency. But you're still adding talent, you're still reshaping your roster, and I think it does get fans excited for, a season that's still 6 months away.
Yeah, Tony Pollard going to Tennessee. You got Derrick Henry going to the Ravens. You'd mentioned Cousins, Calvin Ridley. I mean, these are big name guys that it's going to really change the landscape. I mean, but you could argue the Falcons, if Cousins, can come back from his injury, they're a major player in this now. I mean, with the tools they have on their offense. And I mean, listen, we know Derrick Henry isn't, in his prime anymore, but still, I mean, I think he's got enough juice left that should be pretty scary to Browns fans having him go to Baltimore.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Chud, because look inside the division. So you get Derrick Henry to Baltimore, and I think he has lost some juice, right? I don't think he's the same breakaway player. It takes him a little bit to get going. It feels like if you get to him in the backfield, you can shut him down. But when you have Lamar Jackson, who can spread the defense, right, and keep the ball, so you have those option looks where you got to stay wide because Lamar can get outside the edges and take advantage of you there. That means there's fewer bodies in the box, which means you block the right guy or two, and Derrick Henry can be gone. or he's just banging into fewer bodies and he's picking up those tough yards. And then if you concentrate there, Lamar's gone around the edge, right? So I think that's a good fit for him. It'll be really interesting to see, how the Browns handle that, how defenses handle that. I don't know. I think it might have been Deion Sanders. I think it was he tweeted that, the NFL's in
Yeah.
trouble, right? Because of the Henry Lamar, the Henry Jackson combo. You look at the
Yeah.
Steelers, they signed Patrick Queen, the really good inside linebacker, away from the Ravens. They traded Deontay Johnson. The Bengals signed Sheldon Rankins, a D tackle who I kind of liked is an option for the Browns. So, everybody across the division is making moves and they're making big moves.
Yeah, the Bengals brought in Moss, right? And Mixon went to Houston. I mean, there's another big name leaving. Russell Wilson. I mean,
My
listen,
God.
let's not sleep on this. Let's not sleep on Russell Wilson because I know it didn't go well in Denver, but that's just a scary thing that if he is able to revive it and do well, that puts the Steelers, back in the mix. I mean, they made the playoffs.
Yeah,
So,
right.
I mean, this division is crazy.
I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, I just made a note to myself. We got to talk about Jerry Jeudy because that feels a year ago and it was Saturday, right? After we taped last week's podcast. So, yeah, Russell Wilson was after, and that feels forever ago. That was last late Thursday or Friday last week, or no, Sunday, whenever. All these days blend together. But yeah, I'm glad you brought it up because that's a big addition to this division. And I feel he's a significant upgrade over Kenny Pickett. I think the combination of him with new offensive coordinator Arthur Smith and that defense that the Steelers always play. I mean, they're always, they won what they won, 10 games last year, 9 games, 10 games last year with bad quarterback play and an unbelievable defense. So if you had a quarterback that can make three long throws a game to George Pickens, it changes everything. So I think the Steelers are going to play the same kind of football, but have a quarterback that gives you a chance to an even better chance to win all those close games that the Steelers play. So I still think Wilson's the fourth best quarterback in this division. But I mean, we talked about it last year, Chud. How many, we thought three teams would make the playoffs out of the North, and they did,
Yeah.
right? And that, yeah, I mean, I know it's only March, but I think you can make that same argument heading into 2024. And I don't know which three teams it'll be, but I would not be stunned at all if three North teams made the playoffs.
Yeah, no question. All right, let's get to the lead with the Browns. And I'm going to throw out that thing that, I told everyone about a few months ago, the umbrella lead, where you could kind of go one of two ways. And you just brought it up. Of course, you can't forget about it because it does feel like a while ago now. But I think the two lead stories, not that it diminishes anything else the Browns have done, but for me, and I think you'd agree, and tell me if I'm wrong, the lead stories are the trade for Jeudy and then the backup quarterback with Jameis Winston and Flacco leaving. So I'm going to let you pick which way you want to start. Do you want to go Jeudy, 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 or
That's
do you?
a dated reference, Chud. You're showing your age
Or
there.
do you want to go? I
Let's
know it.
right. Let's go Jeudy because I think he is more important.
You think?
And
I mean,
we talked Flacco so much last week, and I know we're gonna get into him here, but let's go with Jeudy just to change things up. So what was your first reaction when you saw the Jeudy trade?
little bit of a surprise. I think to sum it up for me, my first thought is a guy that has just not lived up to expectations. And I don't want Browns fans to get too excited because he gets hurt a lot and he just has not lived up to what he should be. I mean, former number one round pick, right? First round pick.
Yeah, he's number 15. Yep.
Number fit. Yeah. So, but at the same time, they didn't give much up for him. So it's an obvious move. I mean, the fifth and the sixth round pick. I mean, it's a no-brainer. So it's a great move for the Browns to get a receiver that, they didn't have to go out and pay huge money for in free agency. And if he does live up to first round expectations, you just stole him away. So it's a no-brainer, but I do want to throw out a little bit of, don't get too excited because, I mean, again, he's got to call on the field and do it because he just hasn't yet.
Yeah, I think that's completely fair. I think it's on the money. It's a low risk move, right? With a chance for high reward. One of my buddies, I thought, made a good point. You're getting him in a contract year, right? I mean, the Browns could extend him right away, but I wouldn't think they would because he's in that, last year of his deal. And like you said, he's been a disappointment to this point. So I don't think it makes any sense to kind of reward him with a contract extension right now. So let's assume he plays out the year. You got a guy that's motivated, right? You got a guy that's going to be a free agent. It's going to try to make his money. You might get him as good as he'll ever be. So I think that's a benefit for the Browns. The free agent receiver class was not great. All the top names, most of the top names signed, re-signed, or were franchise tagged. We saw Calvin Ridley just signed for an insane amount of money and, probably overpaid. And, you're getting Jerry Jeudy for less than $13 million. And I like that. I think that's a good bargain. You're not asking to do too much because you have Amari Cooper as your number one. He kind of slots in as number two with, I would assume, Elijah Moore, number three, depending on how it goes. So I like it. I think it's a prove it year. I think it adds to your receiving core. It gives Deshaun Watson more options. I mean, the guy's talented, right? He's a Biletnikoff Award winner at Alabama, is the nation's top college receiver. Two 1,000-yard years at Alabama. I talked to Amari Cooper in 2022, and I did a story about Cooper's a route runner. And I was asking who he liked in the league, and Jeudy was one of the guys he mentioned. Now, I think there's some Alabama bias there, but that's one of the things that Jeudy does best is run routes. And, I think being around Cooper is going to serve him really well, and I think it'll help him, and he can just watch Cooper work. There's been, I don't know, off field might be too much, but, we know that Jerry Jeudy kind of got into it with Steve Smith Sr. a little bit when Smith called him just a guy. He has reactions, right? He has reactions on social media when people criticize him or criticize the Broncos. So, I think there's some maturity issues there. But I talked to somebody who knew him in Denver and thinks he's a good kid. And I asked if he's a pain in the butt, and the guy said no. He goes, I like him. He goes, he's a receiver, right? So there's always something there. But if he's not a pain and he's dedicated and he can stay healthy, you got a guy that's got some explosion, some run after catch, and I think the Browns need that. So I like you, Chad, I think it was a smart move. It was a position they needed to address. Doesn't mean they can't draft somebody, right? But I think it gives them, three, and if you add Cedric Tillman, four receivers that you can kind of count on heading into the draft and heading into next season. So I like that move.
Steve Smith, just a guy otherwise known as a Jag, right?
Exactly. Yep.
So I'm glad you brought up the Steve Smith part. That was going to be my follow-up for you, but you already hit that. So let me ask you this. The Chargers just got rid of Mike Williams, didn't they? Did I
Yes.
see that?
Yes.
So is that an option?
No, I think they're done with the big. They might be done with big moves, period. But
Okay.
I think they're done with big moves at receiver, right? To me, defensive tackle, and we'll get into this, might be the one spot that they could still go. But they got so much volume there that even that I question. But like I said, Cooper, Jeudy, Moore, Tillman. I think that's your four, and then you go draft a guy. Whether you draft a guy at 54, whether you draft a guy at in the fourth round, fifth round, I would be surprised if they don't add a receiver in the draft. It's such a deep class. They need to, I think they need to get younger. They need to stockpile, especially because Cooper, Jeudy, and Moore are all entering the last year of their contracts. So we could see a big change between the 2024 and 2025 receiver groups. If Jeudy plays great, then the Browns probably give him huge money and make him their number one receiver. Right. And maybe move on from Cooper that's 31 or, give Cooper a smaller deal. But I just think there's so many ways the receiving group can go following this season. But I would expect them to add a guy in draft. I would not expect them to add a big name free agent.
I'd be pretty shocked if Jeudy ever becomes a number one, like Amari Cooper or some of these other number ones in the NFL. That's just me, though.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right, Chad. I mean, you know what, we're 4 years in his career and doesn't have a 1,000-yard season, doesn't have a Pro Bowl. But I just go back to when you draft a guy 15, right? That's the hope, right? That's the expectation. So I just think that's one of the million scenarios that could happen with this receiving core as we move forward.
Yeah, but at some point, though, you have to kind of look away from that number because sometimes guys don't live up to that number. And then, like a Tom Brady, you know, at
Yeah.
some point, don't you look away from where a guy was drafted? At some point.
Well, you probably should. I'll tell you this. I know it sticks with me, right? When I read a story, a guy's a not first round draft pick, that means
Yeah.
something. And part of that's because more people know, right? You know him because he played well in college, you know him because he was a first round pick. But I do think it matters to talent evaluators in the league. I think they look at a guy and go, well, there's a reason he was drafted in the first round. And a little segue here, the Browns have Devin Bush, the former Steelers linebacker. He was the number 10 pick in the draft of the Steelers. And the Browns have him in for a visit this week. Now, he's been a disappointment. He got hurt. Let me see what year he was drafted in 2019. He tore an ACL in 2020, wasn't the same player after that. Steelers didn't pick up his fifth-year option. He played to Seattle last year, didn't play much. The Browns have him in for a visit today. And I bring that up is, okay, he's probably washed out, and you know, if he didn't play much in Seattle, you know, who knows if he's got any kind of a future. But I bet one of the reasons the Browns have him in is because he was at the number 10 pick in the draft. So you think maybe you can kind of capture that, right? Go get, you know, kind of go get the recapture what he had, right? Find that talent and maybe take advantage of what other teams weren't able to capitalize on. So I think anytime a guy has that background, there's a feeling that he must have had crazy talent to be drafted that high. And maybe the Browns or whatever team can finally cultivate that talent.
Yeah. All right. So you asked me, you know, my reaction with Jeudy. You know, at least with that, there were rumblings, and throughout time, you thought maybe that could be something that might happen. But this one, I did not see coming. We didn't talk about it last week.
Right.
I had no idea Jameis Winston would ever possibly be a member of the Cleveland Browns. That one came as a shock to me. How about you?
It did. You know, when I started to first hear it, I'm trying to get all these days together, Chud. So that would have been Monday night, I want to say, right? Monday night, yeah. Started to hear Winston after Brissett, after Jacoby Brissett picked New England, which made sense. New England's going to give him a chance to possibly start, maybe mentor whatever rookie they draft, if they draft a rookie high. It's $8 million. The Browns weren't going to pay that. It's a chance to get to 12 million. So it made sense that Brissett went to New England, but he was a guy that the Browns, you know, would have loved to have back. So when that happened and he picked New England, I think the assumption was, okay, it's Joe Flacco time, right? And then all of a sudden you hear Winston, and then it's like, huh? And so yeah, he was not on my radar. You know, guys like Trubisky before he went to Buffalo was on my. I thought maybe Marcus Mariota, right? You looked at Gardner Minshew. I thought he was going to be too expensive, and he was. He winds up going to the Raiders. But I hadn't really considered Winston, and you know, that's you know my fault because he is a former number one pick. You know, going back to what we just talked about, was a backup with New Orleans, so he fits kind of this category. The Browns are looking for a backup quarterback. He's one, big arm. You know, Heisman Trophy winner, all that stuff. So, but I was surprised, just like you, Chud, when his name started to circulate because he's kind of been off the radar, right? He hasn't had recent success. He doesn't have the resume that Joe Flacco does.
Well, it's interesting though, because he kind of last week you said that you would go with Brissett over Flacco
Yeah.
because he was younger. So Winston falls right into that. So it's kind of they did what you kind of said. It's just not the same guy.
It's not, and you're right, the age is a big factor here, right? He's 30, Joe Flacco's 39. So that's a big part of it. He knows Deshaun Watson. Browns think he'll be a good fit in that room. Not that Flacco wouldn't have been, but they think Winston will be a good fit. Think he'll be a good fit for the offense, right? Ken Dorsey, the new coordinator, who's worked with Josh Allen. He's worked with Cam Newton. Jameis Winston isn't a runner like those guys, but he's physically similar, right? I think he's 6'3", 6'4", 230. He's a big dude. If you need him to run forward, he can run forward, right? I think he had six touchdowns as a rookie. Big body guy, can extend plays. Not quite, not in the same vein as Deshaun Watson, but not probably as different as Flacco is, right? Flacco doesn't do that a ton. So I think they thought he was a better fit in those regards. Big arm, right? Can throw the ball down the field. Now, what's different about him and Jacoby Brissett, because him and Brissett have a lot of similarities. Just, similar size. Jacoby doesn't run, but he can run. He can, he's a big dude, good at quarterback sneaks, all that stuff. Where the difference is, Brissett does not throw interceptions, and Winston throws a ton of interceptions. So, Winston threw 30 in 2019, his last year with Tampa Bay. I mean, he led the league with 5,100 yards throwing, but he had 30 interceptions, right? He led the league with 30 interceptions. He's got like a, I think his interception rate is 3.4%, which is high. I'm going to look. It might be 4.6. I'm going to look. But he throws a ton of interceptions. And when you talk about the issues with Joe Flacco, there were two. He's 39 and he throws too many interceptions, right? Well, Winston throws more interceptions than Flacco does. So it's going to have to be about the age. Like if you're comparing why they went Winston over Flacco, and they did, they didn't even offer Flacco a contract, probably because they were worried that Flacco would accept it, right? And they weren't certain that they wanted to bring him back. So it's 3.4, the interception rate. So it's the age. And then the second factor, which I'm sure the Browns will downplay, but there's no way it wasn't a factor, and we brought it up last week, is the prospect of Joe Flacco being the backup to Deshaun Watson, Joe Flacco being beloved by fans. What if Watson struggles? There's going to be Flacco chants, Flacco calls on talk radio, letters to the editor, all those things, right? People are good. There's going to be a segment of the fan base, and a probably loud one, that's going to want Joe Flacco instead of your franchise quarterback. And I think the Browns, while they thought they could handle it, they thought Watson could handle it. If you don't think the gap between Winston and Flacco is huge, or maybe vice versa, the gap between Flacco and Winston is huge, you can save some drama, you can save some headache, you can support your starting quarterback better by having somebody that's not Joe Flacco, right? And not beloved like that. So I think that's at least a partial reason why it's Winston over Flacco.
Scott, I was actually thinking, they had that trip to California, right? Barry and Stefanski, and I just pictured them all sitting down in a room, and they said, "All right, Deshaun, what is it? What is it that we can help you with? What do we need for you to survive here in Cleveland to make this happen?" And Deshaun goes, "Get rid of Flacco." No, I'm kidding. But I'm kidding. But no, I did think that. We talked about this last week on the pod, and I think we both agreed that, it could work with Flacco. But also, when we talked about that, at least I didn't think that we had another option for sure
Right.
in front of our face. But I agree with you. There has to be something there, right? I mean, I know you can't make your decisions totally on what the fans say or think, but it definitely has to be something that is in their mind thinking, that maybe Flacco is just a little too popular, that, if things went just a little bit wrong, that could cause some headaches.
I think definitely. And I'm not sure Watson would say that to him. And I'm not even sure that they would bring that up with Watson. I think it's just more of, we need to make this as comfortable and supportive a situation as possible, right? We talk about surrounding him with talent, making sure the protection's good, all those things, right? They got a new coordinator, new offensive coaches. It's all about trying to ensure that Deshaun Watson plays as well as he possibly can. And if making his mind clear and freer and taking any potential anxiety away is part of that, I think the organization views that as a good thing and is a good idea and a reason to make, or one of the reasons to make this decision. And I won't even argue with that, Chud. I get it. I think things will be calmer with Jameis Winston. And I don't think there's a huge gap between Flacco and Winston, right? I think we talked about their similarities and their style. They both throw for a bunch of yards, big arms, tend to throw interceptions. The difference, in my opinion, is if you need one game, if you need to win one game to get you to the playoffs, or if you need to win one game in the playoffs, or I mean, it could be more than one, right? We saw Flacco win four in a row last year. And maybe there's a recency bias because how last year ended, but I can't ignore what I saw. I would trust Flacco more than I would Winston. And like I feel strongly about that. Now, if you're the Browns and you say, hey, the only way we're going to get to Super Bowl is if Watson stays healthy. And is there that big a gap? No, between Flacco and Winston, no. And is that going to make Watson feel better and potentially play better? Then I understand the move, but it could come back to bite them if they need that backup and if Winston doesn't live up to what Flacco did a year ago. And last point on this, obviously Flacco showed at least some people in the league that he still is capable of playing because he signed a deal in Indianapolis that pays him a little bit more than Winston, and he's going to back up Anthony Richardson, who's coming off of shoulder surgery. Right. So he proved to at least one other team that he deserves a job in the NFL, which wasn't the case a year ago.
Yeah, I think both guys, and you mentioned it, both guys could definitely hurt you with the interceptions. I just think it's interesting because a couple months ago, if you would have told Browns fans that this was going to happen, people would be like, "What?"
Right.
But that just kind of shows you where life is, when things happen at a certain time, you're caught in that moment. We always say prisoner of the moment, right?
Yep.
When you're involved and you're actually going through it. But then when you can separate away from it and look to the future, I probably would, well, no, not probably. I agree with you. Right now I would rather have, I said this last week, okay, if the season's on the line this upcoming season and you need one win, I'd rather have Flacco than Winston. That said, I'm not going to beat him up over it. And I think part of it is because I do think Winston is a capable quarterback. And I think that's what people aren't really totally thinking and talking about right now. If anything, in my opinion, this is the last thing I'm going to say about this at the end of the day is at least they have one of the two. Okay. At least it's kind of like with the kicker. They realize they made the mistake. They moved on from it. They said, all right, we messed up. At least this is the Browns acknowledging that we need a veteran
Yes.
backup quarterback. And at least they have one because, last year they didn't think they didn't or want one, think they needed one, whatever the case may be, they didn't have it and they had to go get it. At least now they're acknowledging, hey, DTR is not ready. We need to have a veteran quarterback in case something happens.
No, that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up. And I do think there is that prisoner of the moment, right? I'm looking at Winston's career here. He didn't start a game last year. So it's hard to, so he's not in anybody's or my many fans, I would think, the front of the mind, right? Because he didn't start a game. Derek Carr started every game in New Orleans. The Winston headline from last year was when he was supposed to take a knee in the victory formation and they scored a touchdown. And it upset the Falcons and it upset the Saints coaches, right? But he hasn't played. He started the first three games in 2022, went 1-2, got hurt. Andy Dalton took over. And then when Winston got healthy, Dalton stayed in. And then, the last real time he played was 2021. He went 5-2. And Sean Payton was getting him to be more careful with the ball. 14 touchdowns, three interceptions. And then he tears an ACL and a horse collar and is done for the year. So there are glimpses there. It's just, and the Browns must feel like they can mine those glimpses, mine that talent. But he just hasn't played a bunch in the last 2 years. So he kind of faded, at least from my consciousness.
He really did, and that's why it was kind of a surprise. But
Right.
Yeah, it's gonna be well, I guess at the end of the day, we just hope we never see him.
Yeah, right.
So, all right, let's move on now, and let's look at the free agency for the Browns, and overall, I guess the question is, well, do you want to just kind of you want to do a run through of everyone that they kept from their team, and then everyone that they brought in that wasn't on?
Yeah, I'll see if I can see if I can remember all these guys here, Judd. We have the biggest ones. To me, the biggest one was Za'Darius Smith. We talked about that last week. They re-signed the defensive end. He played well last year. Obviously, Myles Garrett played great on the other side of him. One defensive player of the year. So Smith is back at end, 2 years, $23.5 million. Did not break the bank. It's a good price, a good fit. He said he feels something special brewing last year, and that's why he wanted to return. Next, Jordan Hicks, linebacker, veteran guy, played with the Vikings last year, knows Jim Schwartz, the coordinator, from their time together in Philly. Tackle machine, Anthony Walker Jr., Sione Takitaki left, Walker to Miami, Takitaki to New England. So now you have Hicks and JOK. And I think those are your two main guys. Actually, I don't know. We've taken this in segments, and I can't remember 10 minutes ago, let alone a few hours ago. But they have Devin Bush in for a visit today, former number one pick. We talked about the number one picks. So they might add one more guy to that linebacker room. But Jordan Hicks, I would expect him to come in, be the starter next to JOK. Good in coverage, tackle machine. So a guy that, fits. And I think the Browns looked at him, Takitaki and Walker, and picked Hicks over those other two guys. They bring back defensive tackles Maurice Hurst, the second, and Shelby Harris. Then they go out and reach an agreement with Quentin Jefferson, who was with the Jets last year. And it feels like it's going to be those three guys, Dalvin Tomlinson and Siaki Ika at D tackle. And Jefferson's got a little bit of end tackle. He's like 6'4", 291. Think he fits more at tackle. So it feels like the line is set. Not that they couldn't add anybody in the draft, but they have 9 or 10 guys for those two positions. At end, it's Garrett, Smith, Okoronkwo, Alex Wright, and then Isaiah McGuire, who they drafted last year. At tackle, it's Tomlinson, Jefferson, Harris, Hurst, and Ika. So that's five guys they like at each spot, and usually you only play four games. So maybe there's another move there, but it feels like they're kind of set along the line. They went out and signed Nyheim Hines from Buffalo. He didn't play last year. He was in a Sea-Doo accident. But Chud, I like this guy. He came from the Colts. They traded to Buffalo in 2022. I like him added to that running back group. He's got explosion. He's good catching the ball out of the backfield. He's got two punt returns, two kickoff returns for touchdowns. So, I don't think he's not an every down back, but he's a guy that can play some running back. He can return for you. The key is he back? Because he tore a couple of knee ligaments, including the ACL. Can he come back from that? But if he's healthy, I like him. He's got history with Bubba Ventrone and Indy and then Ken Dorsey in Buffalo. It sounds like, or they signed a tackle, Hakeem Adeniji, a backup tackle. They needed depth there. And then Corey Bohorquez, the punter. They brought him back on a 2-year deal. And then the last two came, they happened kind of late last night. Giovanni Ricci, he's a tight end, more a blocker than a receiver. I think he's got 12 catches in 3 years. Actually 9 catches in 3 years. And then special teamer cornerback Tony Brown, who, if he winds up signing, will take the place of Mike Ford Jr., who did the same thing. Special teams ace, gunner, cornerback, and he signed a deal with the Texans. So just a couple relatively big moves, but then a lot of bringing guys back. They brought back Michael Dunn on the offensive line as well, and then just filling in a couple of pieces here and there.
Last week we talked about Christian Wilkins. They do not get him. He gets that big deal in Vegas.
Huge deal.
Yes. Yeah. Huge deal. Right. Not a deal the Browns probably I guess. Do you think they were in it at all for him, or is that just way out of their price tag?
Well, no, I mean, I think they were interested, right? I think they were interested in him. I think they were interested in defensive end Jonathan Greenard from Houston, and the prices just got too much. They just got too high. I mean, Wilkins, I think, is 28 or 29 million with the Raiders. Grenard, I think he's 18 with Minnesota. And you know, I was thinking Wilkins was going to be 22 and Grenard might be 13. So I think the Browns are at a spot with the roster and with the salary cap where they have to set limits. And they can't just go reset the market at a position, especially a position where, you know, they went and signed Dalvin Tomlinson a year ago. That was their number one free agent signing last year. So I understand why they wouldn't. I thought that would be a huge splash and help. But it feels like they think they have enough pieces to do it. Now, again, I wouldn't rule out, you know, if the right, you know, Eric Armstead's out there. I like that idea. The Niners released him, but I think he would get big money. But maybe if, you know, the market kind of settles, maybe they make a strike there. But I feel like they're kind of settled, or, you know, they're kind of content with where they are, and they just weren't going to overpay. And I understand that. Last year, they didn't overpay for Javon Hargrave either.
So, do you feel like at linebacker, I think Taki Taki's kind of a big loss. I think I kind of didn't really love that one. Anthony Walker, that's a tough loss. I mean, he gets hurt a lot, but that's a tough loss too, as far as like inside the locker room, I feel like, in a leader. That said, you know, they did get Hicks. You know, do you feel that they're stronger at linebacker, the same? They got weaker?
Yeah, that's a good question, Sean. I think if you look at it overall, I would say weaker because you're losing two guys. And you're losing two guys that started games for you, played well for you. Like you said, Walker's a captain. He's beloved in that room. I thought they were only going to re-sign one of them. And Taki Taki made more sense because he's younger and hasn't had the same injury history as Walker. But they picked Hicks over Taki. Like, I think they're paying Hicks more than Taki wound up getting in New England. It was close, but I think it's more. So they picked Hicks. Now, that's interesting because Hicks is a few years older. I think maybe he moves better than Taki. I haven't gone and watched his film, but you know, Taki was kind of the big Sam linebacker that proved he could play in the middle. I don't know if you want him in space, and I think Hicks has played more in space throughout his career, but that's a choice that will be kind of criticized or at least watched, right? To see if it was the right decision. Because I think they could have brought Taki Taki back if they wanted, and they chose not to. And now they got to kind of figure out what they're going to do with that third spot. You know, is it Tony Fields a second? Do they bring in Devin Bush, like you mentioned? Is, you know, do they draft a guy? Because it feels like they're one guy short, even though you usually only play two. You need that solid third guy, especially in this division. With a guy like Derrick Henry, right? With Pittsburgh's going to want to run the ball a bunch. You might be in base defense more than you were this year, and that's when you need that third linebacker.
I agree. I think Hines at running back, that might be a sneaky little pickup that we're talking a lot about.
Yeah, I tell you, I loved him. When I saw him play in Indy, and you know how it works, Chud. You know, I watch a couple of games of the teams the Browns are going to play coming up. And you see him on film and you see him play the Browns back in the day. And I was like, this kid, I really liked him. Goes to Buffalo and he has two punt returns or two kickoff returns in the same game. And it was the game after the DeMar Hamlin stuff. So I don't know if it was the right game after, but Hamlin was in the stadium or like there was all kinds of excitement and emotion in Buffalo. And then Hines returns two touchdowns and the place goes berserk. So there's a lot to like about him. I don't know if the Browns view him more as, I think it's more than just a returner because he can catch the ball out of the backfield. Again, assuming he's healthy. So I like that pick. I don't know if they still need one more guy at running back. You know, you got Ford, you got Pierre Strong Jr., you got Himes, and then you don't know about Chubb, right? That's the big unknown. Do they go out and get one more guy? Do they draft a guy? We'll have to see how that plays out. Probably part of it's depending on how healthy Himes is. Just talk about a freak accident. Last year, according to the story I read in The Athletic, it's 4th of July weekend. He said he's not even really riding the Sea-Doo. He's just kind of taking it easy. And then it needed to be filled up, right? Needed more gas. And so he said, I'll go fill it up. Gets stuck like behind some boats and then gets hit by, I think, one of his buddies on a Sea-Doo and winds up tearing two ligaments in the knee. Couldn't play all year. So, really, an unusual and unfortunate injury. And obviously, the Browns are hoping that he's back to normal.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's more than just a special teams move, especially with the Chubb situation. I guess overall, when you look at the Browns team right now, do you think they're better now than they were, you know, a couple months ago? A couple months ago.
I mean that's the question, right? It's hard. It's hard, Chud. Even if we call backup quarterback a wash, I think they're close. Like I think it's probably six and one half dozen because they re-signed Smith, which I thought was incredibly important. And the rest of these moves so far have just kind of been here and there. But I don't think that's necessarily a negative because the Browns were good last year, right? I mean, they won 11 games with four different starting quarterbacks, right? So this roster did not need a rebuilding, right? It needs tweaks. And there's still the draft coming up. There's still months of free agency where you can sign, you know, specific guys if you feel like you're short somewhere. I'm sure Andrew Berry will sit back and look at this roster and go, okay, I still think they need a second tight end because Harrison Bryant, he left to go to Las Vegas, which I think we all expected, but I think they need an upgrade at number two tight end behind David Njoku, unless they just turn it over to Jordan Akins, but he didn't do a lot last year in his first season with the team. So there's still some minor moves, but, you know, they were returning 17 of 22 starters, right? Or 18 of 22 starters. So there wasn't a whole lot there. There wasn't a whole lot of work that needed to be done. And then Smith is one of those guys that they re-signed. We talked about the number of guys at D-tackle taking the place of Jordan Elliott, and that's not a big loss. And then the other two are linebackers. So I think they're kind of – and then they trade for Judy, right? And I almost forgot about Judy, which I said earlier because it was a week ago. And actually, we talked to him on Zoom 2 hours ago. I shouldn't be forgetting about him. If you add the Judy pick – if you add the Judy trade, I would say the Browns are better than they were when they ended the 2023 season, even if it's just a little bit. But I think that's okay because I liked where they were when 23 ended, you know, except for the result of how 23 ended.
I'm going to have to keep reminding you every week, month, you know, Judy, they got Judy, Scott.
I know. But honestly, Chud, like before we got back on this podcast, I'm finishing a Jerry Judy story. I just need to reread it. So I don't know why I can't keep that in my head, but I'd appreciate if you did that for me.
Yeah, no problem. Brian, I'm kind of bummed that didn't work out in Cleveland. I still feel like he could be something good in the NFL.
Yeah, maybe he gets a chance to do something more, you know, more with the Raiders. I don't know if being stuck behind Njoku hampered him. It probably did, right? You don't get a ton of opportunities. But I think he's just – I just don't think he does anything phenomenally, right? He's not the fastest guy. He's not the biggest guy. He's not the strongest guy. He can play in this league. I just think I'd like a little more juice out of that number two tight end spot. Unless maybe they decide they're just going to go three wides and spread it with Watson. And I think they'll go more in that direction. But I mean, you know how much Stefanski likes his tight ends. And you got to be able to go big on the goal line. If you have Nick Chubb, you need to go two tight ends sometimes, right? So I think they do, even with Ricci, that they're going to sign Giovanni Ricci, I think they need one more guy. And I think preferably he's a guy that can help you in the pass game.
So is there anything to, I don't know if there's anything to this, but is Greg Newsome, or, you know, is there anything to any rumors about him leaving?
Yeah, I mean, they're out there that the Browns are willing to trade one of their corners and he'd be the guy, right? I don't think they're trading Denzel Ward. He's just too good, right? Hometown kid. They just restructured his contract to create some salary cap space. Pro Bowl year. I mean, he's a top, whatever, 5, 6, 7 corner in the league. And then Martin Emerson Jr. has been such a pleasant surprise after getting picked in the third round in 2022. He's cheap for now. I think he feels like a guy you're going to extend at some point. So, you know, like, it would be Newsome. So, having said that, I think the Browns would be willing to do that because they have Cam Mitchell that they drafted last year out of Northwestern and played pretty well in the slot. and they're good at drafting corners, right? They've shown that. So I understand why they would do that. It's a little bit of a position of strength if they dealt one of the corners. If you got something back for Newsome where you could upgrade a different position, he's going to be due. Like if they pick up his fifth year option, it would be just 13, I think 13.7 for 2025, which isn't outrageous, but all of a sudden you're starting to pay everybody at cornerback. But having said all that, you have to get a really good haul back. And I'm skeptical of the fact that they could do that. I think, if you trade him and he's a starting corner in this league, you'd have to get something really good back. And I just don't know if you could get it back. And I don't think they're just going to give him away. So I would expect them to pick up that fifth year option. I'd expect him to stay and probably play out that contract unless he demands a trade and maybe that, kind of sparks something. But, the Browns like him and they played so much man that you need a bunch of good corners. And if you can go three great corners and you feel like you have three starters in Ward, Emerson, and Newsome, why mess with that? So I wouldn't rule it out, but I wouldn't expect it either.
All right, Scott. Well, as you kind of mentioned earlier, we're taping this at two different points today. The magic of podcast, the magic of technology. Could have probably taped a little bit throughout the week. I mean, it's just been kind of something different every day, and that's what happened today. You find out you have a Zoom opportunity with Judy. So, what did we learn on that maybe you didn't know before? Anything that fans should know about?
Yeah, just a couple things real quick, Chud. Excited to be here. Feels wanted. The Browns had tried to trade for, or at least were interested in trading for him. He thinks he started hearing about it in 21, but at least for sure last year they were rumored to be interested. And that makes him feel wanted that they kept interested in him. It didn't go away. And then they went and got him. So that's, he feels welcome and wanted. He's excited to be here. And then it's the Amari Cooper connection. Both went to Bama, both from South Florida. I mentioned that Cooper referred to him as one of the best route runners, and I brought that up with Judy on the call, and he said it means a lot just knowing how great of a route runner he is, and being able for him to just say my name in that conversation, that means a lot. So I think this is a good spot for him. Obviously, he needs to live up to that potential. He said he hasn't met his expectations yet. He hopes to do that in Cleveland. He believes he can. He has strong belief in himself, strong or high expectations. Mentioned the quarterback situation was fluid in Denver. So was the coaching situation. So there should be more stability here. He likes Ken Dorsey as a coordinator. He likes Deshaun Watson. He likes Cooper and Elijah Moore. So I think there's a chance for Judy to get his bearings and really kind of excel and show who he really is as a receiver.
All right. Well, that's the opportunity's here. So hopefully he takes it and it goes in the Browns' favor. So, all right. Well, that's it for me. Unless you got, Scott, I got one more thing before you wrap it up.
What do you got,
I just
bud?
want to say, yeah, tomorrow I'm actually going to be over at, so we're taping this Thursday. Friday, I'm going to be over at Lorain High School. I'm going to be on their TV20 doing play-by-play for the Unified Special Olympics that they do. So I'm going to be out there in your neck of the woods, Lorain County there. So look forward to that event, a very special event they do every year. I think it's like maybe their 7th year, but I know that's a very cool program that they do. I'm excited to be a part of it. So check it out if you get a chance.
Yeah, that's a great event, buddy. It's a great event. Say hi to Lorain County for me. I don't get there as often as I used to. But yeah, that's a great event. I'm glad they asked you.
Yeah, look forward to it. So that's it for me, unless you got anything else.
No, I think we're good. I appreciate it, Chud. Yeah, it's a busy week as always, right? But I'm glad we were able to do this, even if it took two parts. And we were able to get a little Jerry Judy Zoom call reaction. So it worked out okay. So I appreciate it, Chad. Thanks everybody for listening. This has been another episode of the Zone Co Coverage Podcast, and you can read all my work at brownzone.com. Thanks.